Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Azusa Street Revival, God just moved mightily in LA, and they're going to be talking about it, but that was like in 1906. Mm-hmm. Just recently, you know, before we start, you know, hearing from Stephen Barber, is the Lord just began to stir my heart about Azusa Street. Mm-hmm. And things I didn't know that is unfolding, and I did know a lot of almost 600 million people, they say, was affected right now because of that outpouring around the world. And so I was going to go in the beginning of the year to a time of a sabbatical of being with the Lord, and they give me a particular place that I was going to be staying in, and it had a number on it. The number on it was 1906. Mm-hmm. And immediately, as soon as they gave me that room, 1906, or that place, 1906, the Lord just spoke to me and said, that was the year of Azusa Street.
And you had no idea that was...
No. Right. You know. No. We can't waste a lot of time
just
on that.
For the listeners, yeah, right. So they know that he had
right.
No clue.
Yeah, right. I had no.
Just listen to the program.
And so then, you know, of course, you look it up. And I looked it up. It's like, it's right. It was 1906. And then I looked at it and it said, it was in May of 1906 where it began to happen. And so... And Azusa Street is actually the name of a street. And so God just began to stir my heart. So I go spend this time with the Lord, just kind of hearing his voice. And there's nothing like spending time with him in the context of that. And in it, while I was there on the sabbatical, and normally there's no communication happening, all that stuff shut down. Mm-hmm. But God puts a South African pastor in touch with me.
Wow.
And begins to tell me how important it is for America to stay the light. Mm. Because if America goes dark, then the whole world will go in deep darkness. And then he began to prophesy to me. And he prophesied to me saying, America, and he knows anything, nothing either. He says, America needs a second Azusa Street. And Azusa Street is so unique. You have to understand. And this is, you know, one of my heart's passion in 2013 or the previous year, you know, God began to really just show me the division and the divided walls and the segregation in the church today, you know, and the fact is it wasn't until, you know, I became a believer that I started looking at people in regards to why is this called this kind of church and that kind of church, and it's defined by race versus aren't we all the same? And it's like, we got these walls got to come down. That's one of the unique things about Azusa Street. The whole body came together in a powerful way. We'll be talking about that. But then with this particular word then came back to me, Bob Jones's word, before he went to go be with the Lord. He talked about in the spring, when the time of the apple blossoms will be blossoming, that God's going to begin this harvest, that he would see they're bringing 1 billion souls and this powerful glory outpouring. And it would happen around spring, which is the same time around the Azusa Street. Mm-hmm. And so we're just like, man, we got to focus on... You know, so we've been just looking at and remembering, and you know, you have the Four Square Church, you have Assemblies of God, you have probably Church of God,
and Church of Christ, yeah, I think.
Yeah, just all these different movements, and the church is birthed out of this one thing. And this thing is like, what happens if we go back and say, remembering those that have gone before us, and say, you know what? You know, let's just do what God said. And this is the whole thing. Jesus says this. He says, go make disciples of the nations. That word nations means ethnos, which means our races, our different people groups. Mm-hmm. And we're supposed to all come together into one new people group called the body of Christ, which Jesus is the head. And the mighty move comes out of that's true unity in Christ. And the humility that they're going to talk about is just so powerful. And so when I looked at it, and then God calls us specifically because we were going to locate in the central part of the U.S. and northern Texas, where we could reach the entire nation easily there. And God specifically calls us back to a community to be able to establish the hub, the VFN Dream Center, and in a community called Brownsville Community. And we found out as we were prayer walking, God was speaking to us. He says, it shows the sign. He says, this was actually founded during the Azusa Street Revival in 1908, which is like 100 years. It is amazing. It's amazing. Matter of fact, we're going to join them now as we listen to Steve Kalaszewski and Barbara Steele share with us what they've learned about Azusa Street.
Well, hello. My name is Steve, and we're so excited to have Miss Barbara here in the studio. How's your day going?
Excellent. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. I am just excited and just really expectant just of the many conversations that we have had talking about the Azusa Street Revival.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't know what that is. What tell me real briefly, what was the Azusa Street Revival?
Well, it started with William Seymour.
Yes.
And he was in Texas. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't a regular member at a church because, well, he couldn't get into the church because right. he was black. And in 1900s, early 1900s, mm-hmm. there was no mixing of the races in churches at all. And he would sit outside the church or the room and listen in on the preaching through the window.
Wait, wait, you wow. mean that he wasn't even allowed to inside? He had to sit outside.
He was outside listening wow. through the window. And he couldn't do anything there in Texas. Nobody wanted to hear anything. So God told him to go out to California. Mm-hmm. So he did. And he began what was known now as the Azusa Street Revival.
So why do they call it Azusa Street? Wasn't that basically the location of where it was?
Yes, right. Wow. It started out in a little house. Someone yeah. donated and said, you can use this house.
Yeah.
Because he was preaching and the crowd started growing in the house.
Well, before that, mm-hmm. what was so significant was it did not happen just overnight.
Oh, no.
There were days and weeks and years that he spent just seeking the Lord.
Right.
Even there was a season where he didn't even have a place to go.
Exactly.
But someone brought him in and they were able to pray together, you know, multiple hours a day, you know, and they did not just get there. And what's so significant is we have been praying.
Yes.
Every Monday, 24 hours,
yes.
just asking God to do a mighty work
yes.
in our cities, in our nation, in this generation.
Yes.
And we're beginning to see so many moves of God and how God is speaking.
Right.
It's exciting.
It is.
Go ahead.
It is. So he's in this little house and they're having this revival every single night and crowds are coming and they're pouring out into the streets. And they finally, the police shut it down and said, this is too much. You know, it's too the crowd is too much for this small house. So they needed a bigger place. And a guy told them, well, I have an old warehouse that hasn't been used in years. You all are welcome to it. But it was it would cost something. And he had no money and no support. So God spoke to him and said, get on this, I guess it was a trolley back then. And in California, and he headed to Pasadena, and which was illegal for him to do because it was at night. God
right.
told him, go. It was after dark. Black folks were not allowed on the streets.
But he just obeyed.
Persons of color were not allowed on the streets after dark. So he got on this trolley and caught it and went exactly where God told him. And he happened up on this apartment, and he knocked on the door where these three or four women had been praying for revival every night for weeks
Beautiful.
And weeks,
wow.
little Baptist ladies praying
oh,
for
wow.
revival.
Yeah.
And so he knocks on the door, they open the door, and instead of them slamming the door in his face, they said, can we help you? He said, yeah, God sent me here to speak to you. I've been having revival. They said, come right in.
Beautiful.
In. So they started raising money, and they became his ministry team, basically, and helped them clean out the warehouse. And that's where they started having meetings night after night.
That's so powerful to think about that he didn't really know what to do, where to go,
no.
but God just says,
no
go. And he just got the up and just went and
yes.
just followed the Lord and saw how God just provided.
Yes.
So tell me more. It's like as they went through those meetings, they went through their different locations, and even it began as in one specific household
right.
where there was a few baptism, the Holy Spirit, where
yes.
just they were praying, the Holy Spirit came down just like they did in Acts 2.
Yes.
And tell me about that. When they came to the actual home before they even got to Azusa Street beforehand.
Right. Oh, they were seeing all kinds of miracles. And I guess it was a two-story house because Seymour would come down the stairs
in a house. Wow.
Yeah, in this little house. Wasn't a big house. And he would come downstairs and sit among them with a box on his head, which they all thought was so strange. But once he lifted that box, it was on.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The Holy
wow.
Spirit would move mightily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me about some of the miracles. Tell me about
well,
some of the things that happened.
After they moved to the warehouse.
That's right. Because
it really took off.
Because there was so much movement that they couldn't even fit
right.
that many people.
Exactly.
So then they moved to a building which was on Azusa Street.
Exactly. That's when it became very well known.
Mm-hmm.
And people were coming from all over to hear this evangelist preach. And he would come in with a box on his head and he would just sit there and wait for God to speak to him. As soon as he heard God, he would take the box off and start ministering. Now, while he was sitting there with the box on his head, they would be worshiping God and playing music and basically what we would call having church. Mm. And these young women and men, teenagers, they were teens, 16, 18 years old, wanted so much to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They They were hungry for God. They got filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They would go out and lay hands on people and see them healed immediately. Blind people would be brought in. They would heal for them. And they wouldn't pray like we might. Mm-hmm. They would say, did you come to be healed? And they'd say, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they would say, okay, you're going to be healed tonight. And they would just pray with faith, huge amounts of faith, bold faith, that they would be healed. And those people were healed,
So what was the racial mix at this point?
Oh, it was very integrated. He wouldn't allow more than, Seymour wouldn't allow more than 20 people of the same race to sit on these benches in this warehouse. He would mix them up.
If he took the box off
and he saw more than 20 people, 20 white people or 20 black people, he would, no. You have to sit here. You have to sit there. Yes.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. This was the first, probably the only segregated church in America at the time.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, at that time, he was breaking up segregation and bringing people together.
Right. He said, when you get born again, you are one in Christ. You're a new creation.
Family. Mm-hmm.
One in Christ.
Yeah. We're all the same.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me about it too, because there were some people that when they said, you know, did you need healing, that they would come up and they would have like no fingers.
Right.
Or they'd have basically from their shoulder down, and he would pray.
Yes.
And limbs would grow out.
Right. Sometimes he would just say, okay, all you people over there, you're already healed. You're healed. In Jesus' name, you're healed. And they would just get healed.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Full extremities. Mm-hmm. They had an upper room just full of crutches, wheelchairs that was just, that they would have from the healings.
When the people would come in wheelchairs, these young men and women that were helping him, they would immediately put the foot stands up. Mm-hmm. So that when they were healed, they would jump up and walk. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have anything
hindering
them.
Just believing in faith that God was going to heal and they were going to walk out of that wheelchair.
Right.
It's beautiful.
One of the young ladies, she enjoyed praying for those that had teeth missing or terrible tooth decay. And she would just put a finger in their mouth sometimes. And, and she would enjoy just playing like she's playing the piano. She'd touch the mouth here or there, and a new tooth would start growing in. New teeth.
Wow.
Brand new teeth. Now, the gentleman that wrote this book that I was reading called The Miracles of Azusa Street, he actually interviewed these people in the 1960s. So they were elderly, but they were telling him about their experiences when they were teens. And the preacher, Parham, who was a preacher in Texas, who mentored William Seymour, he would send people to Azusa Street before they would go out on the mission field. Mm-hmm. He said, you go get anointed by this man. Get some of that anointing, and then you can go out.
Raising them up and sending them out. Raising them up and sending them
and
out.
And so many people came out of Azusa Street that went out into the missions field and evangelized.
Yeah. This is so exciting. It is. You know, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Is it lawful to terminate an employee for religious discussions in the workplace? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My son was doing an internship for school with the probation office, and he was with a probation officer the other day, and they started talking about the Bible and things like that. And when he got back to the office, the guy that's the head of the program told him that he was going to have to let him go out of the program because he can't speak of those things.
Well, you cannot be terminated from a position, whether it's an internship or employment, because of your religious beliefs or what you've said about a religious topic, as long as it's not disruptive to the workplace. But I also want to get in touch with you, your son, and let's get our lawyers at the American Center for Law and Justice involved in this, and we're going to get you some direct help.
The American Center for Law and Justice is here to defend our religious liberties. Learn more about the American Center for Law and Justice on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
I wanted to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision-making, of why you're going to get married or why you're going to need to stay married or why you need to have family or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
This is so exciting, having Miss Barbara here in the studio, just being able to just remember the wonders of the Lord.
Yes.
And William Seymour and the Azusa Street Revival.
Yes.
And we've taken the beginning moments of this, just sharing about who William Seymour was, the miracles, the journeys that they just did not get there overnight. It takes prayer, dedication,
yes,
just pushing through and pressing into God. And we left off, we were talking about the miracles, talking
right
about the mighty movements and bold faith.
Right. They saw so many miracles, things we can barely imagine now. Limbs growing out, new teeth, people in wheelchairs. They would bring in blind from the School of the Blind, wasn't very far away. They would bring 8 or 10 kids or young people in, and they would get healed. They would see.
Yes, Lord.
Run around that building.
Lord.
So, you know, excited to have their vision back.
And there was even people, too, that weren't even part of what was going on, weren't even aware of what was going on,
right,
walking around the building.
Oh, not even that close, a block away.
And just the presence of the Lord was so thick and so powerful that they were coming under the conviction of the Holy Spirit,
right,
and saying, I want to know Jesus.
Right.
And
right,
there were things that people even saw. Above.
Oh yeah, they would see the glory of God manifesting, mm-hmm, from this little warehouse. They would see flames shooting up from, mm-hmm, the roof, you know. And they called the fire department one time. The fire department came out.
Yeah,
because
they thought the building
out
was on,
right,
fire.
Right.
Wow.
And sometimes they would see the flames going up, and then they would see flames coming down, and they would touch.
Wow.
It was the glory of God.
And the exciting thing, too, is thinking about, you know, that was 1906.
Yes.
You know, approximately about 100 years ago.
Right.
And William Seymour actually prophesied about that. And he said specifically, you know, what did he say about what God was going to do?
He said God told him, well, he started prophesying one day that in approximately 100 years, there would be another move of God, but it would be similar to Azusa, mm-hmm, but much greater, because it wouldn't just affect preachers. It would be the whole body of Christ.
Wow.
And we're sitting right at that time.
Wow.
Timetable right now.
Well, that's the exciting thing, too. And, you know, I think about, like, the book that you were reading by, what was the author's name?
Tommy Welchel.
And he didn't even know that he was supposed to write that book. But the exciting thing is like, you know, during the discussions that we've had, that when he saw those who were young at the time in the Azusa Street, they saw him. What did they say to him?
Okay, he was already a storyteller. He loved to tell stories. And God showed one of his dear friends. He said, I saw you talking to people and telling stories. He just prophesied over
him.
He's like, okay, that's interesting. And then he met some of the people in California that were still alive from Azusa Street, and they would point at him and say, you're the one.
Wow.
In fact, one time somebody just said, "You're the one." He said, "Okay."
And kept going. He had no idea what he said.
Yeah, okay, I'm the one. And then another lady looked at him and said, "You're the one that's going to write the stories."
Wow.
He's like, "What stories?"
Yeah.
But he already knew he was supposed to write stories, but he didn't know what stories.
So and that's the exciting thing too. It's just like as he began hearing more of their stories, more of the testimonies, and just reliving everything that God had done through the revival, his faith was lifted.
Oh, absolutely. Now, and it's still he didn't write this book until 2013. Mm. So he's had all this for 40 or 50 years, and he just put the pen to the paper when God told him it's time.
Yeah. You know, that really just lifts my faith and stirs my faith so much, because it even makes me think about the fact that, like, when you read in Acts 2, they were, it's so much comparable is that they were gathered together.
Right. In the upper room.
In a home.
Yes.
And the whole city responded hearing their prayers. And when they came together, when you can read this, I was actually just in my body time of just how exciting and encouraging this is that. In Acts 2, verse 11, it says, "We hear them declaring the wonders of God." And you even look back and you think about the Brownsville Revival, when God used Steve Hill to come in and just share the message that he shared on Father's Day 1995, "Remember the wonders of the Lord." And he was just really stirring their faith and remembering God has been good to you.
Yes, that was
Father
another
God
part.
Has provided you.
Excuse me. Another part of the prophecy, and he said in 100 years there was going to be this revival, and it was going to be bigger and better than Acts 2. He mentioned Acts 2 and Azusa Street. Yeah.
And that was so exciting, because I even think about the word that the Lord spoke to Greg about by saying the fact that what God's about to do, he said it was going to be like Azusa Street.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's the exciting thing is that when you realize what God has done and all that, that's in preparation, because that's not everything. God's got so much more. And a lot of times is that if you're thinking about the stories that the author was listening to and the people that he was speaking to, they were even sharing about their desire.
Oh, absolutely. They longed to be a part of what we are going to see.
The people who were a part of Azusa Street.
Yes.
The people who were bringing new teeth and seeing healing completely.
The deaf were being healed.
Deaf would have hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Limbs growing back.
Right.
They wanted to be a part of what God's about to do.
Right. Mm. And when William Seymour made this prophecy, about two or three days later, Charles Parham gave the same, almost the same word for word prophecy, still in Texas.
Yeah.
And they didn't have the internet. They didn't have mass media. God spoke to him and said there would be a revival.
Yeah. That just so stirs my faith. When you look at that just overall journey that William Seymour has taken.
Right.
He did not get there overnight.
No.
He had to go through those testings. He so easily could have gotten offended, but he was just desperate and hungry.
And humble.
Hungry for God. And God showed him, said, "Go."
Right.
And he went. And he went and saw how God just parted the Red Sea.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
God just provided for him.
Right.
Right. And it's just like that overall hunger, when you look at, you can look at your own journeys in each of our lives, and it's just like what God has done in each of us. It's just like, this is God.
Absolutely.
And to think how God led William to where he was, to say, "Will you be faithful in the small things? Will you be faithful just praying by yourself when there's no one else? Will you be faithful if you're just in a small home and there's three or four of y'all? Will you be faithful?" And watch how God pours himself out and where we are now to think about that. And it's just like, God has prepared you. He has established you, that there's a plan for your life.
Yes.
And to think about where we are now in the 21st century, approximately 100 years after what God did in Azusa Street, he's about to pour himself out and show himself mighty. But the thing is, though, is I was watching the documentary recently, and what was so powerful was that those that were being used by God, they understood that they consider themselves the people on the other side of the tracks. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about them. They just wanted people to encounter this mighty God.
Yes.
They wanted their cities, they wanted their region to just be transformed by the power of God. They wanted people to encounter Jesus. And it's just like, that's where we are right now. And it's just like, we know Jesus and we want other people to know Jesus. And it's just like the stirring of our faith. When we remember what God has done, it stirs our faith. When you think about Azusa Street, when you think about the Brownsville Revival, God's going to do more.
Right. He's building our faith now. He's, you know, showing us small healings here and there. But what he wants to do is just overcome us and show himself big in our lives. He is our healer. Mm. Jesus is the great physician. He can heal.
Yes.
And he wants to heal.
More.
Today, he wants to heal us. We need to, when some people are sick, pray. Lay hands on. He tells us in his word.
Amen.
Lay sick.
This
lay
is so exciting. This is that. We are that generation.
Yes,
and that's
the
thing, is that of all the generations of all of creation, God chose you to be a part of this generation. Say yes to Jesus Christ in your life.
Yes.
Say yes and say, God, what do you want to do in my generation?
Yes.
Here I am, Lord. Yes. I say yes to your will. Have your way, God. More,
Amen.
Lord. More, Lord.
I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida to Mississippi, over 500,000 households. All around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not, we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter, and visit our sponsors and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country, in that order, and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.